Hey, nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, we have special guest Dean Crownover from My Benefit Auctioneer joining us to talk about ways to use Fund a Need in your fundraising event and why it is so important. Let's get right into it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hey Nonprofits, Raise More Money. Jason Ledlow here, Trevor Nelson, HGA Group, HGA Fundraising, HGA Bid. We're here to help you raise more money. We've got a special guest, Dean Crownover. He is of My Benefit Auctioneer. He is a world-class fundraising charity auctioneer. He has also written a new book called Paddles Up, and you, as a guest of ours, can go get a free downloaded copy of at paddlesupbook.com. Paddlesupbook.com. We'll put it in the deal here. You'll be able to see it in the show notes. But here's the really cool thing. So this is a really great book, and this is not the normal book where it's like 168 pages and, you know, you get 12 pages of good stuff and the rest is just fill. Everything in here, this is a super simple to read how-to guide coming out of, post 2020 of the pandemic and all that stuff, coming back into live events of things, lessons learned, and how to really raise more money. And Dean, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you for that plug. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really, really cool. Because these are all case studies that you formulated yourself by doing these events. You know, that's what I always thought was really, really cool and authentic about something that every single organization can get something out of the book.
And I hope so. Yeah, it's called a short book, meaning that its job is all meat, no filler, no fluff.
There's no backstory.
I got to correct you. You know, yes, from my experience, but there are four or five other auctioneers that I name in the book because I took their experiences that they shared with me and wanted to share with everybody else. Cause really it does take a village. And I learned
these are
so
practices
much from
that you are doing though at events as well. Correct. These are practices that you're utilizing regardless of whether you got them from colleagues or not. That's awesome.
And, you know, obviously, if you want to hire Dean, you know, we would recommend that. He is a world-class auctioneer and fundraiser out of Atlanta, Georgia, goes all over the country and is very successful and works with nonprofits. They raise a lot of money. But my goodness, get this book, flip through this thing. You're going to see some stuff. And the one thing I really wanted to hit on today is the fund a need.
Sure.
You know, I'm just going to let you just talk about that because I think it's so important to talk about fund a need.
Well, and I want to clear up and say something that right now I'm only taking jobs in Hawaii and anywhere tropical right now. Okay, so only call me if you're from Hawaii.
Yeah, no, if it's North Dakota in December, probably not gonna.
Yes, if you're near a body of water. The fund a need is, and by the way, I call it the fund a need because that's the way I learned it. It's a generic term for paddle raise. I'm always about brand it, you know, to what works for you. Mm-hmm. But it is, in my opinion, the number one revenue stream at your event. Okay. Followed maybe either right before it or right below it is sponsorships. And that is a big shift over the last few years. And especially coming out of the pandemic, people want to give. And I've decided that I want to be the best expert in it that I can and help my clients shape it so it will perform. And you don't have to have anything for it. You don't have to buy anything for it. You don't have to depend on donation, meaning somebody give you something to sell. It is literally, we could shape it in a week and present it and make it a huge success. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I think that, you know, we've seen the same thing. Like you said, you know, whether it's number one or number two, but the top two are sponsorships and underwriting and then fund a need.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, we're in the items business. We're into, you know, our business is selling trips and experiences and doing those things for live auctions.
But you can't refute the data. Yeah.
But the data is the fact that people are giving in huge ways. And So go through just how you like to see and how you like to frame this up and
really,
you know,
just
go through the book if you know, if you would. And I've got some questions and Trevor's got some questions we'd like to hit you with.
Well, you know, the big thing I get, and still, even though I've been doing the Fund and Need for 12 years, that if I have a new client who's not embraced it for some reason, and I'm still meeting plenty of clients that they're only talking about the silent auction, maybe the live auction, not the Fund and Need, right? So we're building the Fund and Need. 100% of this of your audience can afford the Fund and Need.
Yep.
Because from $1 to $1 million, anywhere in between, they can give. Whereas the live auction, I think statistically it's 20, 25, maybe 30% of the audience can afford it. So we want to make sure that we're speaking to both. And the other question I get a lot is, well, won't they hold their money in the live auction if they're giving in the Fund and Need? No, because if I can afford both, I'm buying both. And that's going to be a very select group. And, you know, most people won't buy in the live, but they will give in the Fund and Need. And it is coming out of virtual, and the pandemic, the two things that soared were the giving and the sponsorships. The sponsors stayed with their nonprofits. Awesome. They didn't run, and it was phenomenal, right? So the Fund and Need, I saw people giving, even if they were worried about, I mean, literally life or death during the pandemic, during virtual, money coming in, people were giving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get to see the best of what humankind can do at these events. And you know, we're very lucky what we do. So I'm all about, I tell my clients, let's put 50, 60% of our energy in building the Fund and Need. And the number one way to do that is creating an emotional appeal, a story that I like, what I call the 1-2 punch, a 2-minute video. Maybe it's an overall of what you do, or maybe it's a specific case that we're talking about, followed by a live testimonial that is there at the event that is about 2 minutes. We're not talking long. We're not preaching here. We're explaining and giving a story so the audience can empathize. It's all about the empathy. It's all about understanding what you, the nonprofit, does to make a life better. And I, as a donor, because I, as a donor, I want to be part of that, making a life better. So that is what we work, I would say, a bulk of our time on, is creating that perfect 1-2 punch.
What's really cool, last time we spoke, Dean, about it, What I pulled away from it is how you're imploring your clients and anyone who's listening, for that matter, to name it, to have a name, or you brand it in their life. I thought that was really cool, because you could call it Fund and Need, you could call it Paddle Raise, Mission Drive, whatever you want. But the fact that you're branding it for and imploring the organization to brand it in their likeness and their image, I think makes a ton of sense. And I'm gonna ask you as well, put you on the spot. Can you give us some examples or just some ideas of how you've done that and what names you've come up with your clients, stuff like that? Just so we have
context. Yeah. And when I explain it to them, I say, here's what you should probably have in it, is a verb of some kind for giving.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell them, go brainstorm it. Mm-hmm. This is not my, and I will be honest, it's not my forte of coming up with clever things. My wife's very good at it. Mm-hmm. And so she will come up with some great stuff that I'll share with them. But Johns Creek Symphony, which is local here, first time they'd ever done it. So I said, go and brainstorm five or so titles. And they did. And they sent them back, and we discussed them. Share the Music is what they came up with, because they're an orchestra. Mm-hmm. Share the Music. And it was about the youth group. Wow. And I went, brilliant.
Yeah.
So even if it's a food bank, and here's a simple version of Fund a Need, feed the need. And that it still changed it just enough where they could brand it and own it. And in their marketing, we explain in a sentence or two, this is where we're going to ask for your donation, your financial donation to help us reach our goal. And I'm a big fan of setting a goal that we know we can reach and go over. And come up with something clever, because from there you can come up with a logo for it, and you can sell it as a sponsorship. And a lot of them don't know they can do that. Sell the fund a need as a sponsorship, meaning that I use it as a match. So I'll just use Coca-Cola, or, you know, I know most people don't have access to a big company, but I'll just use them.
Yeah.
You know, Coca-Cola tonight, but in our Share the Music, Coca-Cola is our sponsor, and they have a challenge. If we can raise 25 grand, they will give us 25 grand or whatever they paid for the sponsorship. And it becomes a challenge. It's a separate, it's not a presenting sponsor, but it really is in a way. Mm-hmm. It's another level that you can sell. And most aren't doing it. And now I'm seeing a lot more starting to do it. We can put, you know, Coke's logo up there when we're talking about it, sure. Put it all over the website, put it in the program, anywhere and everywhere.
Love that, man. The Feed the Need moment presented by Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Good. I mean, Dean, anything clever,
good, you know, you. Dean, I want to just on that love piece, it. On the part from, the, you know, Feed the Need, share the, how important it is, do you think, you know, obviously we have a big goal. Let's say we want to raise $50,000. I'm just using that for a number. Okay. But how important it is, how do you go about conveying this to your clients, and what do you like to see happen where you can tell people what their money's going to buy? You know, what's $10,000 going to do? Or, you know, break it down into increments. Let's say we're sending kids to camp, you know, and it costs $1,000, because I always think, you know, people don't want to, I give 10 grand, but what does that do? Well, I sent 10 kids to camp. That's how I think about it. That's my emotional. That's how we can make that emotional connection. Yeah. So talk to us about how you like to see that done, or how you've seen that be very successful.
There are two camps of that. I would say a good 80% of my clients, we can match it with something it could buy, a pallet of food, a kid to camp, you know, things like that. The other 20% are research-based, a lot of my medicals, LLS, MDA. We can't say what it could buy unless we're doing MDA kid to camp, which is something I do. But for the most part, it's research. We're trying to find new cures, right? So to answer your question, Jason, I like to do two things at once. I'm all about give the audience food for thought. And this is what I tell my client, I have a very specific document on how to write a fund to need level that they take first crack at it. Then I edit it with them. We tell the audience at the level, ladies and gentlemen, the next level is $5,000. And I'll use Share the Music for, did you know that the Johns Creek Orchestra has a sensory friendly performance? Now, here's something new that I'm doing that came out of virtual and COVID, is I'm doing a thing called the Fireside Chat, where I have a representative from the organization, and I will lay out the fact, like the sensory friendly performance. And then I'll say, Linda, the executive director, tell us about that. 30 seconds or less, she gives us the info. And then I might go, and did you know that your $5,000 at this level can help pay for operating expenses for the kids' Christmas performance next season? You know, so if we can match it and add that in, we do. If we can't, like with research or something,
sure,
I don't have to. I just move on. But yes, I think people really do respond to if I can say I sent 10 kids to camp, you know, that's pretty awesome, but not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
Well, and just understand, you know, and that's what I'm saying, you know, it's okay. Maybe you can't do 10, but can you send 5? Can you send 2? Can you send one kid to camp?
One.
Because then when they drive by and they're talking about it and they're telling somebody, oh yeah, it was really cool, man. We sponsor a kid to camp, you know? Oh yeah. You see that we send a kid to camp over there. Or we send 10 kids to camp.
Yeah.
They don't say, well, I gave them 10 grand. They don't, because that would be, you know, maybe not.
Yeah, we do. We put it in the language that they understand.
Yeah. And, but it's what they do. And it's that whole thing. I love the fireside chat and letting somebody do that. It stretches it out a little bit as far as time, but I think very well spent. No, I'm saying, I think it'd be time well spent, because it's all about that impact and what they're going to see.
Here's what I've noticed is that because during virtual, only the executive director and myself could be 6 feet apart on camera. Two different podiums, and it was a conversation through the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that we're back live, and I've been back live since last August, pretty much full time, what I've noticed is that when I bring a rep up from their organization, it's not me talking to the audience or at the audience and just blah, 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 blah. Yes, I try to do it where it sounds empathetic and they absolutely understand what I'm saying, but now they're hearing from a rep and they're really listening. After a few drinks, they're still listening.
So it's a conversation like it's conversation with us right now, hearing it as opposed to talking at somebody. They're overhearing a conversation. They're listening to a conversation.
I think you're onto something with that, just based on even what you said earlier about attention spans and things of that nature. It just makes a lot of sense.
And it's not for every single one. I would say I'm doing it 80%. I did one Monday that was a golf tournament, and they absolutely didn't want to do it that way because these guys have been playing golf all day. They're coming. They're exhausted. It's 4 o'clock. Their heat, you know, it was 100 degrees outside. So really it was, let's get to it. And so we didn't want to add in that extra layer. But the truth is, the way we set it up, we still had our testimonial person. We still had our video, and the executive director and the founder during their welcome speech said all the key things that we needed them to say. So by the time I got up there and went, it was all good.
Awesome.
I didn't have to have that conversation. But in a normal gala, you have time for it and you block off the time for it.
I think that's one of the things, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think everybody gets caught up in time. Oh, we got to hurry. We got to hurry. We're here to raise money. This is a fundraiser. And I know, you know, we get caught up in the performance. I know you do, because that's your background, is being an actor and performer, how you even got into this world. So, you know, we get all that. And I think that's important. But understand, this is a fundraiser. We're here to raise money. And people know that. I don't think I've ever seen a deal sitting there where people just say, well, I'm tired of sitting this and watching this, other than unless they've listened to some politician get up and speak for 30 minutes and then they get up. And
See the eyes glaze over, because even if you're like sometimes the executive director or somebody will be giving a speech and it's going on for 20, 30 minutes, which I'm like, whoa, 2 minutes. Yeah. Because you don't need to preach to these guys. They already know why they're here.
Yep.
I see the glaze over, and worse, I see them walk out to the bar, to the bathroom, and we're losing them. That's a case where this is very, we rehearse it, but it sounds off the cuff, but we work out the timing, because short and sweet. Gosh, if any motto I can teach you, short and sweet will make you more money. The longer you talk, the less money we're going to make. Awesome. And you know what? Jason, you said something about, I have heard this from a committee. Well, can't you just rush through the live auction and the fund? We got to get to the band. We paid 10 grand for the band.
Okay.
And I said, how much is a band bringing you in? Why did you even buy a band?
Yeah.
Get a DJ for a grand.
Yeah.
Or get it under. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, they really are worried about they're not going to get enough time out of the band. I've heard that. And I'm like,
I have to.
Guys, this is not. Nope.
Awesome.
Well,
awesome.
I think having a professional up there to do the fund to need too, you know, we know from experience when I've got to move, when I can wait, when I can, you know, because you can just read the crowd, read the room, see what the impulse is. Knowing about when somebody's going to step up and go, you know, yeah, I'll give 10,000, or when it's time to drop down to five or get to the 2,500, we can get the hands in the air and get the action going. So, you know, just final thoughts on fund and need. And this is the last thing I think, you know, and we'll, as you said, keep it brief. So we'll keep it short and sweet. Talk about placement. You know, in the past, it's, you know, always kind of been, the fund of need has been at the end. You know, we'd have the live auction, you know, the golden ticket draw, the live auction, fund of need. You're really advocating it to do at the beginning. In fact, you're pushing hard to do that.
Yes.
You talk about why. Yes. So tell us why.
And I don't mean the beginning during the cocktail hour.
The fundraising. I'm talking about,
So let's assume, it's food stations or even seated dinner. Once everybody, you know, is set and they're eating, and we start the actual, what I call show, which is the fundraising part. Mm-hmm. Let's set it up. You know, there may be a quick award and then boom, right into it, because 100% of the people can give. And I don't want to lose anybody if we put it separate after. That's one. Number two is, there, I like a emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So emotion first. Let's talk, you know, because some of this stuff is, you know, when you're doing child advocacy, say, for abused kids, you know, this is tough stuff, or child cancer, where, you know, a parent is talking about they have lost their child. We don't want to put that after the fun and frivolity of a live auction and all the goofy fun stuff, and then all of a sudden hit the brakes and go emotional. I want to do the opposite. Emotion, 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 leading into the live auction. And at the last level of the fund to need, I normally do a game, last man standing, or other people, I call it the runaround. It has a million different names, where we give a prize to the last person who gives. Well, that begins the fun of the live auction, because the live auction comes right after. This is a, we've talked all the emotion. Now it's time for the relief. And that's what the live auction presents. So really, these two things of who can afford it, who can't, and the emotional roller coaster, I would say 90% of my events, I put it first. Schools is the only one I probably put it second. Schools is a, you guys have to have a whole different webinar podcast on schools. They're very different.
Hey, we'll do it.
You know what? Speaking of that, we're going to wrap this up. Dean, thank you so much. Everybody, again, paddlesupbook.com. Paddlesupbook.com. Go download it.
Free copy.
Dean Crownover,
free for my all benefit. Nonprofits.
Yeah, it's free. There's nothing. Just go in there. Just put your email address and it just sends it right to you. Dean Crownover, my benefit auctioneer. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate
it. Long-time friend. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah.
Thank great you for auctioneer. Having me.
So if you need him, give him a call. He's good. Make sure it's by a body of water. So that way, he can,
please, it needs to be in Hawaii or Fiji or Australia. Do I have a license for those? Great. I'll get
somewhere
one.
Somewhere in the South Pacific. No, exactly. Dean's been a longtime friend of HGA's. And if you are a friend of HGA's, do us a favor and go to paddlesupbook.com and download your copy. He called it a short book. I actually think it's perfect. It's all very digestible. Yeah. It's got a ton of gold in it. I guarantee you'll get something out of it, if not more than that. So definitely download it and read it and give some feedback if you like. We can't thank everybody enough for joining us for another episode of Hey Nonprofits, Raise More Money. Do us a favor, download, subscribe, rate, review, share with friends in your network, share with your neighbors. We can't thank you enough, Dean. Really appreciate you coming on, Jay. Love you, brother. And we'll see you all
you
next
time. Thanks again, Dean. We'll see you soon, brother.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Group LLC. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.